All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Let's go. It's a round two playoff edition of Daily Faceoff Live. It's Wednesday, May 8th, and he is former NHL player, current NHL analyst, Colby Cohen. Colby, how you doing?
I'm good, man. The playoffs have kept us up late. Lots of travel for you. I know you had some struggles getting across the North. I guess I was going to say the U.S., but I guess it would be North America in this case.
Yep.
But hey, man, playoff hockey, there's always a wrench and a ball thrown your way.
Yeah, keep grinding. I'm back in Vancouver, and Daily Faceoff Live is presented by Bet365. We're thrilled to welcome Bet365 as our sports betting partner just in time for the 2024 playoffs. We'll be here with Bet365 to provide you all the news, analysis, lines, and betting options from the playoffs until one of these eight teams is left standing in June. Colby, let's start. Got to start with the Colorado Avalanche and Dallas Stars. We knew heading in that this would be an unbelievable series, but be honest with me. When you saw the Stars, who rolled right from Game 7 into this game 48 hours later and take a 3-0 lead, did you think Game 1 was over for the Avs?
Absolutely. I really did. I expected an Avs loss. I said as much to my brothers who live out in Colorado. They love the Colorado Avalanche. And look, I missed the first period, Frank, because like most people, I was watching overtime of the Rangers game, and keeping an eye on two screens can always be challenging, but it seemed like the Avalanche just stayed with it, right? You didn't see them playing high riverboat hockey. The first couple of goals that went in, the Suter shot, the Johnston shot, these weren't goals that were off of immense offensive zone pressure. They were kind of seeing eye plays. They were quick, sort of, you don't think a goal is going to happen. I'm not blaming Georgiev, although I'd love to see him come up with one of those saves, but give Colorado credit. And this is a team that has so much belief that they're never out of it. And that is a strong thing. Every team pretends and says it, but not every team truly believes it. And I think Colorado has proven to themselves time and time again that when they get rolling and they stick to their plan and they get saves, B-plus goaltending or better, they're really the team to beat.
How dangerous is that from a Dallas perspective or really anyone else that they're playing? I mean, this has almost become the routine. We've seen this before in the playoffs with the Avs. We saw this 1 year against the St. Louis Blues. Just thinking back a few weeks, they were down 4-0 to the Pittsburgh Penguins and won in regulation. I mean, this is something that they continue to dig deep to find. Is that alarming that they get themselves into those spots? Because by virtue of the way the playoffs work, the later it goes, the tougher teams you're going to face. So are you more alarmed about that they fall into the hole, or more impressed that they find a way to dig out?
Yeah, look, I think more impressed, because falling into a hole just hasn't hurt themselves yet. And they haven't necessarily done it consistently, right? We've seen them do it one-off times and then they climb their way back. But, you know, what concerns the other team more than the Avalanche would be their ability to pull teams out of the way that they play. And you watch Dallas last night as Colorado starts to slowly come back. I didn't see Colorado taking, you know, riverboat gambler types of chances. They stayed with their game. They found their legs and they pulled Dallas out of their defensive zone structure. You look at Nate McKinnon's goal that he scored, you know, he's covered. And Robertson has him, lets him go. He gets behind the net. He gets a little bit lost. Uncharacteristic of the Dallas Stars. But again, is it uncharacteristic, or does Colorado just have a way of pulling teams out? They put so much pressure on you, Frank. Let's say McKinnon has a sleepy period. Well, you still got Rantanen. Valanciunas's been a beast. And then how about Cale Makar? You know, what he can do offensively from that position while still defending so well that he does. Look, if they get B-plus goaltending or better, I'm sorry, Frank. I know you've ridden that Dallas Stars wave all season. You've consistently stayed on it, but I'm a little concerned about them getting through the Avs with the Avs getting B-plus or better goaltending.
Well, there's no guarantee that they're going to get B-plus or better goaltending. They are certainly a force to be reckoned with. Just a word on the Dallas Stars. You mentioned that the Avs pulled them out of their structure. Did the Stars do anything in that, you know, game one that concerned you from that angle?
A little bit, you know, I would say. And I think one issue that I would point to is their inability to use Nils Lundqvist on their third pair. He played 5 minutes last night. And then I watched Miro Heiskanen get beat by Miles Wood, who's a great skater, right? Who only played 10, 11 minutes. So had
He's not Miro Heiskanen.
So I worry about the longevity of the team in Dallas, and are they going to be able to keep up with the pace of Colorado when they're only playing five defensemen and their minutes are so high? That is concerning to me. I do think Pete DeBoer and his team will look at things structurally. They'll look at the Nate McKinnon goal and they'll talk about how you've got to collapse and you've got to pick up bodies around the net, because with the Avs, it's not always the first guy. It's not the puck carrier. It's the fact that you've got all these superstars around you, whether it's Nichushkin or Rantanen, that know how to find those soft areas. So Dallas cannot get caught puck watching, which they did last night. I do think that's something that they can clean up. And I do expect this to be a 7-game, very competitive series.
Yeah, really cool stat after last night's game. Miles Wood becomes the 6th father-son duo in Stanley Cup playoffs history. His father, Randy Wood, played more than 700 games to score an overtime goal. Can you name any of the other ones or guess?
No.
All right. No. Nick and Mike Foligno, Brett and Bobby Hull, Peter and Max McNabb, Sam and Paul Reinhardt, as well as Paul and Peter Stastny.
So, and those are all big names that I should have been able to take a stab at one of those. And I played with Paul Stastny, not Peter. Sorry. So I probably could have got there, but I don't want to waste any time on the show.
Yeah, well, the Hulls would have been kind of an easy guess too, so congrats on that. Let's talk about the number one trending topic in the hockey world last night, which was Jacob Trouba and his flying elbow. Look, we've seen Jacob Trouba turn up the intensity in terms of his physical presence when it comes to the postseason before. There has been no shortage of what we could say maybe is controversial hits. I would say most of them are overblown. However, I got to tell you, I don't love any single part of this. It looks like, to me, Jacob Trouba is, of course, lining him up. But once he realizes that he's not going to get him square, he then raises his left elbow to try and catch his head on the way back right there.
Great.
And then
a great freeze there. It's a great freeze there, Gavin.
Yeah, exactly that. And then the follow through, he almost maims himself on the boards. Where do you come out on this?
here's where I come out on this. We're talking about all hypotheticals because there was no contact. And I totally understand where you're coming from here, Frank. It looks terrible, but you know, the player goes down. Was it Nate, who was it that he took a run after? I can't remember now. Okay. So Natchez goes down. I do think that helps propel Trouba to go up a little bit higher. I don't like the fact that the elbow comes out, but again, he doesn't hit him. It's all hypothetical. It looks horrible. Okay. It really does. But if Natchez stays up there, then maybe that ends up going through his chest and rides his way up. I think Jacob
either way is probably ugly. And I'm not saying it would have been illegal, but I have no issue. It doesn't look like he ducked to avoid it. Does it, or does it look like a guy that tried to stop and fell?
I think it's probably somewhere in between. I think, you know, when you throw the brakes on in a situation like that, where you have a guy coming at you like Trouba, you're looking to do what you can to mitigate the damage. So that's why I'm saying, like, we're living in a world looking at this of hypotheticals. And that's where I heard people say, oh, he should be suspended because it was an intent to injure, which I completely disagree with. I understand, but I disagree with it. And again, I think Jacob Trouba is the best and cleanest big hitter we have in the NHL. And I'll say one other thing. I don't think Jacob Trouba played well last night. I actually thought it was his worst game in the playoffs. I thought he was a liability. And I thought, as a guy who knows what he is and what he does, he tried to be someone else last night. And when you fall into that rut as a player, sometimes you go out of your way to try to make an impact. And I think that hit was a perfect example of that. Okay, because generally speaking, when he lines someone up, Frank, he gets them and he gets them clean.
Yeah, look, there's no question about that. That's why I framed it the way I did before I started. Supposed controversy before, but he wasn't suspended. And I viewed those hits as someone who has walked the line really well. So well said on Trouba, well said on his game. I also would think that the New York Rangers probably aren't too concerned about the hit or the game, because they're up 2-0 in the series after grabbing the 2-0 winner on Tuesday night at the Garden. The series now shifts to Carolina for game 3, where the Rangers have obviously held serve at home. Do you have any shades at all of the 2019 series when, you know, you think back to that situation with the New York Rangers? I think it was 2019. Am I getting my numbers mixed up when the Rangers, they lost both games on the road to start and then ended up coming back to win the series? I mean, like, what, I guess the question and how I would frame it to you is, I think the margin in this series is so razor thin between these two teams. That's been thin all year. If you're talking on a 1-10 scale, based on how these first two games played out, and again, not much separating them in game 2, what's your level of concern 1-10 for the Canes being down 2-0 heading home?
I would say a 5 or maybe even a 4. And the reason for that being, because until you lose on home ice when you're the Carolina Hurricanes, I don't think there's a major cause for concern. But now, having said that, Frank, I think Carolina was probably the better team at 5-on-5 in parts of that game, maybe a majority of that game. I think the issue and the reasons that I have concerns right now for, the reason I put that at a 4 or a 5 is a couple of things. Special teams has been a major, major problem. I do not think the Rangers are going to go to Carolina and forget how to move the puck on the power play. Their power play's hot. They're feeling it. They're pulling apart the penalty kill right now for the Carolina Hurricanes. My second concern, it's been a lot of undisciplined stick penalties for the Carolina Hurricanes. It really has. They've had, you know, 7 penalties in the first game, I believe 7 last night, 5 the game before. So right now they're shooting themselves in the foot. They took away a couple of their own power play opportunities by taking penalties 200 feet away from their net. And then my third reason that I have some concern for the Canes, Frank, is that they're not getting, you know, Conn Smythe level goaltending. They're not getting big A-plus efforts out of Frederik Andersen. And I think there's a question mark in what you do into game 3. I guess you'd start Andersen again in game 3, but obviously if they lose, you got to make a change. But right now, Igor Shesterkin is coming up with the 2 extra saves a game that propels a team to win in the playoffs. And while Anderson is not playing poorly. He's not coming up with that extra save, whether it was the first goal where he was screened against Lafreniere. Good shot, right? Whether it was the game winner in game one, the shot through his arm. He's not coming up at the right moment with the save to temper a flurry of New York Ranger chances. So will that change in Carolina? I'm not sure. Will Rod Brind'Amour get better matchups? Will he get better energy from his team? Will he probably get more momentum from the crowd? All those things are true. We know what the record is massively in favor of Carolina on home ice. So yeah, I'm concerned, but until they lose on home ice, Frank, I'm still going to give the Carolina Hurricanes the benefit of the doubt that they can make this a series.
Hmm. So I misspoke. It was 2 years ago, 2022. I guess when you do this a while, all the years sort of run together and blur together. These two teams met in the second round, and it was the Canes who won the first two games on home ice. In fact, every team on home ice won every game of that series until game seven. So by the way, the Canes did win one of the first two on home ice in OT. So proof that, you know, going down 0-2 to start a series on the road, the Rangers just did it in the same matchup of these two teams. Game seven, Rangers come out with a 6-2 victory to advance to the Eastern Conference final. So I'm sure part of that sticks in their heads. And for Carolina, maybe, as you mentioned, maybe only a level 4 or 5 concern on a 10 scale. Let's talk about the other big news last night, the NHL draft lottery held at the NHL Network Studios in Secaucus, New Jersey, where it was determined that not only will the San Jose Sharks have the number one overall pick, but Mike Greer loved that he didn't pull any punches here. Said right after in his media availability, yep, that's the plan. We're taking Macklin Celebrini. Too often when you have a draft lottery occur, there's almost this, even when it's totally clear who that player is going to be picked at number one, the GM says, oh, well, I guess we'll have to wait until the draft itself. So not that there was much suspense or surprise, but a fantastic storyline, Colby. Macklin Celebrini played for the San Jose Junior Sharks 14U AAA team. He's lived in the Bay Area. His dad is the VP of performance and sports science for the Golden State Warriors in the NBA, helped them to multiple NBA titles. And I also love the Boston connection here too. Mike Greer went to Boston University, huge BU ties. He knows Jay Pandolfo, who coached Macklin Celebrini at BU. You, proud BU alum. What do you think about the fit?
Listen, Jay Pandolfo and Mike Greer were teammates at BU. You know, they were there for a glorious part of the 90s for Boston University, 4 Frozen Fours in a row. You just did a great episode with Jay Pandolfo on Frankly Speaking, talking about how NHL ready the 17-year-old already is. And furthermore, Mike Greer came out and said yesterday he thinks he's ready to play in the NHL. He plans to talk to the Celebrini family. I thought it was interesting he said the family and not the agent, but, you know, potato, potato, I guess. But look, I think it's a good fit. I think everybody wants to see the San Jose Sharks back. I think that adds to the NHL when the Shark Tank is bumping come playoff time. We've seen what that can look like. I saw Macklin Celebrini play, I don't know, 35, 40 times this year. There's no doubt in my mind that this kid is ready to play center in the NHL with his strength, with the maturity of his game, his work ethic. And then one other note I'm just going to throw in here. There is a domino effect to...
I was just going to ask you about this.
The San Jose Sharks winning the draft lottery, because here's what this now means. Will Smith, who is their other top prospect, he was, what, 4th overall a season ago, he is going to sign with the San Jose Sharks. I can tell you that. Not with 100% certainty, but I can tell you that with 98.5% certainty. Now that Celebrini was picked and is going to be a San Jose Shark next season, I can tell you the same will happen for Will Smith. I know you're the insider here, Frank, but every now and again, I stumble upon some good news. So there is a domino effect to that happening with the Sharks.
And so,
go ahead.
So with Will Smith, you know, let's say on the hypothetical, he's leaving BC just up the road at Chestnut Hill to join Macklin Celebrini. How much does this change the outlook of the Sharks down the middle for the next 10 to 15 years, Celebrini and Smith?
you've got your 1-2 punch. I mean, these are two can't miss level prospects, which we don't say that often. These are two guys that have done it at all the highest levels. They've checked every box, not only check boxes, but they've smoked these boxes. It'll be interesting to see how Smith does at the World Championships. He's there right now playing with Ryan Leonard and playing with Joel Farabee, another Boston connection line, a couple of BC kids and a BU kid. And I mentioned Ryan Leonard, and I know we've got Steven Ellis coming up next. That's the next guy to keep your eye on, because when Smith signs to go to the NHL, you better believe the Washington Capitals are turning up the heat on Ryan Leonard, and they're going to try to get him to sign as well. So all this domino effect comes from Celebrini going to the Sharks.
Okay, so we know Celebrini, number one, going to the San Jose Sharks, but number two is where the 2024 NHL draft begins. So that means now's the perfect time to bring in Steven Ellis with this edition of The Next Wave.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Next Wave is powered by Booster Juice. Visit a location today, one of 400 across Canada, to refuel, refresh, and re-energize, or download their new Booster Rewards app to earn, order, and enjoy today. That's right. Fresh off of his trip to the World Under-18s in Finland, Steven Ellis back, and I'm sure jet-lagged. Steven, great to have you with us, and have to start with your mock draft. I love that. You know, just a few minutes after the draft lottery wraps, you've got your mock draft posted on dailyfaceoff.com, the most read story on dailyfaceoff.com yesterday. And so maybe a little bit outside the box here, we'll save the number two question for a second, but is there someone else that you view in this 2024 class that you think is ready to step right into the NHL?
Well, from talking to people out in Finland, the one name that kind of kept showing up there was Konsta Hellenius. And I have him at number four to Columbus. I know maybe higher than a few other people would put him there. But this is someone who put up really good numbers in Liga this year. He was actually, I believe, the fourth highest scoring 17-year-old in that league's history. And some of the guys he's beat out there is impressive, and Barkov's got the number one there. But when you look at what he's been able to do this year, he's about to play at the World Championship. He'll become just the fifth player to ever play at the U18s, the U20s, and the World Championship in the same year. You know, there's a reason why he keeps getting these opportunities, because he's so smart. You know, he's not a big four, he's 5'11", but he's a very good two-way center. He wins most of his battles. I thought he was just okay at the U18s. But we've seen him already play a few games with the men's team and be one of their best players. So I did a deep dive on him today, actually, for dailyfaceoff.com. Just went out a few minutes ago. And, you know, again, talking to some people, Olli Jokinen in particular, is like, this guy could be in the NHL next year. And we'll see what happens there. I don't know if I'm 100% convinced, but it seems like from a lot of people believe that will happen.
Steven, I played in that Finnish league, and I can tell you there's not a lot of offense to be had. When you create it, you better enjoy it, because that league is very defensive-minded and a very difficult league to score in. So for those of you at home who look at 36 points and might not think that jumps off the table, I'm going to tell you right now, those are big-time numbers for a 17-year-old in a league where they don't like young players. They feel much more comfortable with older players that they know. Coaches get fired on the dime quickly in that league. So just to add a little bit more context to how impressive those numbers really are. So moving along your mock draft and the draft and all these teams, Steven, after Celebrini, okay, what's the next tier of this draft like? How many of these GMs are going to be sitting there in the top 10 thinking, we're going to get the next best player in this draft? Because it does seem like it's a little all over the place on who is the next group of four or five best players.
The read I'm getting is I think a lot of people are really putting Demidov as that number two, and it really helped that he had a fantastic MHL playoffs in Russia. He was getting 2 points per game. He had to deal with an injury at the end that did knock him out, but like if you're the Chicago Blackhawks, I don't know how you would pass up on him. He would be the perfect player to be passing to for Connor Bedard. And, you know, with Bedard, all due respect to Nick Foligno and a couple of the guys he's played with, they don't have the skill to really unlock Connor Bedard's potential. I think Demidov might be that guy who could do that. So for me, again, the term that's been used to describe him often is hero, in the way he just takes over a game. And if you pair him with Bedard, that's going to be an amazing 1-2 duo. I think, you know, the big question was, if the Blackhawks didn't get the second overall pick, you know, could we see a defenseman taken? You know, a lot of names, Levshunov out of Michigan State is a guy that I've fallen in love with. I think he could just be a dominant defenseman in the NHL in a year or two. I think maybe he won't go in the NHL right away. Or if the argument that he doesn't go in the NHL would be the fact that he's gone from Belarus to the USHL to college in 3 years. And that's a lot of change for someone like that pretty quickly. But I think he's fantastic. You've got Anton Siliev, the 6'7" defenseman, Zane Parekh, the 30 goal scorer in the WHL, Sam Dickinson, the all around defenseman there, a lot of good blue liners, but if I'm looking at it, Demidov's number two. I think maybe 3 to about 12 or 13 are very close. But the fact that we didn't really see any change yesterday, I think means that we're not going to see a ton of different variation in it. I wouldn't be shocked if my mock draft was actually very, very accurate come draft day.
Well, that's why we have you here, by the way, is because you're on top of it. But you can kind of see the pieces fall into place, right? Like the Anaheim Ducks picking at 3, as fascinating as it would have been to have them have Macklin Celebrini, you can kind of see, well, what if a team that has a great collection of forwards can add a top flight defenseman at number 3, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Ducks are kind of off to the races. But want to ask you about some of the wild cards, and in fact, I'm going to ask you point blank, who's the bigger wild card in the top 15? Is it Cole Yzerman or is it Trevor Connolly?
It's Trevor Connolly. I think with Cole Yzerman, I still think he's a top 5, top 10 prospect in this draft. I know some people disagree, but I think the way he plays is unbelievable. But then you look at Trevor Connolly, and you know, people will point out and say there's been the off-ice issues with him. They've been well reported. I think, you know, with him though, it's just tons of skill, top 5, top 10 talent and skill, unbelievable U18 world championship until he got the penalty that ultimately sunk the Americans, and Canada ended up winning gold there. I think with Connolly, if you took the off-ice stuff, whether it be any of the incidents, and unfortunately it's not one incident, it's multiple. If you take that out of the equation, he's taken early, but there's too many teams that have learned, you know, from the last couple of drafts, whether it be Logan Mayhew, whether it be Mitch Miller, and saying, okay, we got to be careful on these picks here. You know, there's obviously the PR standpoint of it, but there's also just the, you know, the human element of it. And I've talked to people who think that Connolly is not the guy that he's been fully portrayed as in the media. I guess it's up for the NHL teams to decide. I know some teams are saying we're taking the risk on the skill there because, you know, we know the skill's worth it. Other teams are saying we're not touching them whatsoever. So, yeah, it's Trevor Connolly for sure.
Understand it both ways. I think that significant penalty in the gold medal game certainly didn't help his case.
Steven, Frank, can I ask you about that, though, really quick? I know we got to keep moving along.
Yeah, we're running long here, but go ahead.
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
Steven, really appreciate your insight. Fantastic work at the Under 18 Worlds. You've got a whole treasure trove of content coming leading up to the 2024 NHL Draft at the Sphere, June 27th, just about 6 weeks away. Can't wait to see it all come together. Steven, thank you so much. This has been The Next Wave, powered by Booster Juice.
All
All right, Colby, that brings us to our Daily Faceoff inbox question of the day, hashtag AskDFO, and that's brought to you by Douglas, named Canada's best mattress on Canadian living. If you want to sleep as cool as the ice, try a Douglas mattress, risk-free in your home for 365 days. Douglas is loved by more than 200,000 Canadians. You can avoid that pushy salesman in stores. Order online and it will arrive at your door with free shipping coast to coast. Head on over to douglas.ca/DFO to try it today. I can promise you, you won't be disappointed. So Colby, we got a couple here in the chat. Your thoughts on the nominees for the Ted Lindsay, the finalists announced this morning were Nikita Kucherov, Nathan MacKinnon, and Austin Matthews. So the big swap there between most outstanding player and most valuable player is Matthews in, Connor McDavid out. McDavid was a finalist for the Hart as announced on Tuesday. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you're splitting hairs when you get to these awards, especially with the seasons that these guys have had. But I also do believe that number one and number two probably separated themselves from, let's say, number three and number four with Connor McDavid, with Austin Matthews, whether it was Pasta, Panera, and all of those guys. So I don't think there was anything that really surprised me here. How about you, Frank?
Yeah, I would say the fact that for whatever reason, there has been a huge case made against Kucherov and the Hart the last number of days on social media. The fact that the players saw it the same way as the Professional Hockey Writers Association, having him in the top three next to MacKinnon, I think was probably some validation on that front. And again, you talk about splitting hairs. There is some pretty significant difference between most outstanding and most valuable player to his team. They're two slightly different awards. It's not best player. That's what the Ted Lindsay is. It's most valuable. And so two maybe different things that you might ultimately end up seeing different results when it comes to the awards being handed out. Jordan asks the latest on Craig Berube. The New Jersey Devils are going through their process. Obviously, the Toronto Maple Leafs have not made a decision yet on Sheldon Keefe's future with the team. There was a report yesterday from Darren Dreger at TSN that New Jersey is also talking to Jay Woodcroft. So I think things are in flux right now. And Travis Green, of course, introduced today as new head coach of the Ottawa Senators. Quickly, Colby, you get one veteran player. This is from Jay Rock that you're rooting for to finally win the Stanley Cup. Who do you want to lift it?
I'd like to see James Van Riemsdyk win a Stanley Cup. I mean, I know that's not Joe Pavelski, the answer everybody else wants to see, but James is a friend of mine since we're really young kids. He's a guy that really takes care of himself. He's battled to stay in the league. He had a great season this year with 50 points, and since he got inserted in the lineup in round one, he's been really good for Boston. So I'd love to see him get to lift the cup, and partly because I know I'll get to be at that cup party.
Yeah, that's always the fun, selfish thing as well. That brings us to our daily bet segment. Tyler was traveling this morning on his way to Vancouver. This is our daily bets powered by Bet365, the largest sports betting platform globally. Open an account with Bet365 today and use promo code DAILY365 to bet on a huge range of markets. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. And Tyler sends in today Panthers puck line. He likes the bounce back play tonight. I could see that as well. Hey, I like to think that the Panthers are probably going to wake up a little bit. Nice little punch in the face from the Boston Bruins. 5 unanswered goals to finish off game one. Let's see how they respond on home ice. And he's also got a Zach Hyman shot prop. He says McDavid should be feeding Hyman tonight if Janmark is the only other winger. He's hit it in 3 of 5. That same metric against the LA Kings, including 1-9 shot performance by Zach Hyman. That is our daily bets brought to you by Bet365, which brings us to garbage time. And that's presented by Wendy's. It takes hard work and determination to bring home the cup. Luckily, all you need to do to bring home Wendy's rewards is eat. Just download the Wendy's app, place your favorite order, and you'll be well on the road to victory. And by victory, we mean free food, of course. So, Colby, that brings us to garbage time. And I wanted to raise for you a couple of the burning questions that we have. 8 burning questions I posted on dailyfaceoff.com for the 8 eliminated teams from round 1. I'll run through them super quick. Is this summer the right time for Nashville to trade UC Saros? Are the Kings making a mistake by not buying out Pierre-Luc Dubois? Has Alex Ovechkin played his last Stanley Cup playoff game? How can the Golden Knights possibly keep Jonathan Marchessault? Do the Winnipeg Jets need a new voice? What will Julien Brisebois do to give the Lightning a jolt? How much impact will Patrick Waugh have on the Isles personnel decisions? And how do the Toronto Maple Leafs shake a loser's mentality? Of those 8 questions, which one intrigues you the most this summer?
It's the Tampa Bay Lightning, and what's Julien Brisebois going to do with that team? It's what are you going to do with Steven Stamkos? You've got Vasil. You still have a core of players that should be able to win. So how do you surround them? Because we've seen their roster get picked apart year after year since their Stanley Cups, Frank, and now they've got to a point where they just don't have the depth. They said bye-bye to Palat. They said bye-bye to Killorn. They said bye-bye to Ryan McDonough. So you see the team getting picked apart, where Colorado was sort of able to revamp, and now they're pushing into the playoffs. What is Brisebois going to do? This team is clearly not going to go into a rebuild. They don't draft until the 5th round this year. They have very few first-round picks, if any, the next couple of drafts. So what is he going to do in free agency? How is he going to surround his superstars? And is this the end of the dominant run of the Tampa Bay Lightning, or will we see them back pushing deep into the playoffs next year? I think, to me, that's really interesting.
For me, it's the first one. Will UC Saros, is now the right time to trade him? Can't help but feel like with his sort of very average first round series against the Vancouver Canucks, coupled with the fact that Yaroslav Askarov had a fantastic season in the AHL for Milwaukee, it feels like the time is right to kind of cash in on that value as opposed to signing him to a long-term extension this summer. Even though he wants to be there, even though everyone said all the right things, the value is probably never going to be higher for the Nashville Predators than it is right sort of at this moment. Maybe make that swap and do things a little bit differently in Nashville. So much intrigue, so much packed into a 30-minute edition that we went a little long, 34 minutes today on Daily Faceoff Live, playoff edition. Thanks to Colby Cohen for flying with me today. We'll be back 12 noon Eastern on Thursday, myself and Tyler Remchuk live from Vancouver. Have a good one. Enjoy the games, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.